Which is that word of God? Taylor Swift's first release was in 2006. I always thought the line, "When you think Tim McGraw, I hope you think of me," was great. We all have association with things that are strong in one of our five senses. So when you see, hear, touch, taste, or smell baptism, what do you think? That will depend on what you think baptism is. It's not just plain water. That's what the 1991 catechism we use says. Over the years, I've been amazed at the variety of ways that has been translated, even among the Missouri Synod that we came from. Not simple water only is the way it was translated from 1921 to 1991. Not simply plain water by Kolb in the year 2000, not merely water by Tappert in 1959. Then our larger catechism blows it all open. Therefore, it is not only natural water, but a divine, heavenly, holy, and blessed water. Praise it in any other terms you can, all by virtue of the word, which is a heavenly, holy word, which no one can sufficiently extol, for it contains and conveys all the fullness of God. Here's an example of Luther extolling baptism in a 1534 sermon. "Behold, it is water that takes away the sin, death, and all sadness, and helps all the way to heaven. Such a precious aromatic medicine results from this because God himself has mixed himself thoroughly within. I touch holy water when I baptize. I touch heavenly water. More than that, I touch God, the one being baptized. Gets touched by him. I get to touch him." But we reject the Catholic teaching that God has joined spiritual power to water independent of its use. We also steer away from the ditch on the other side that the Reformed, the Protestants, the non-denominational, the Evangelicals, the Pentecostals, all of them are driving right into. That is, baptism's washing takes place through God's will alone, not at all through the word and the water. Recently, a member asked me about when it is divine holy water. I answered, when it's included in God's command and combined with God's word. That's what we say in the catechism, but I should have fleshed it out better. Unlike Roman Catholics, we don't fix a moment of the real presence of Christ's body and blood in communion. They ring a bell at that moment. We don't. We quote what Augustine says about baptism in relation to them ringing the bell. The word is added to the element, and it becomes a sacrament. Water, used by God's command and combined with his word, is divine, holy. At what age do you think a kid learns not to judge a book by its cover, not to judge a Christmas present by its wrapping? Although God the Son, his death and resurrection, his rescuing from death and the devil, his lifelong forgiveness of sins, looks, tastes, feels, sounds, and smells like plain water, not even mineral or sparkling, but plain, simple, mere water, don't be fooled. King Louis the Pious, circa 813, said, "The three handfuls of water that were poured on my head in holy baptism are worth more to me than the crown that I'm wearing." When our own kids were young, because newspaper was way cheaper than wrapping paper, we wrapped all their presents in it. Now, because of the switch to electronic media, wrapping paper is cheaper than newsprint. A curious thing happened. The kids tell me when they see a present wrapped in newspaper, which they still use with birthday gifts, a wave of anticipation, expectation, and joy comes over them that doesn't with wrapping paper. May such happen to you when we hear baptism, because baptism is not just plain water. It has God's name connected to it. Here's how we put it in the large catechism. It is nothing else than divine water. Not that the water itself is nobler than other water, but God's word and commandment are added to it. What five-year-old is not going to trade you his $1 bill for your $500 monopoly money? He doesn't know what legal tender means or the concept of having the full faith and credit of the United States behind something. The difference between plain water and baptismal water is the name and word of God behind it. When you hear baptism, I hope you think of God's word and name. Psalm 182 connects the two. Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. My opinion, your opinion, anyone's opinion about what baptism is, that counts for nothing. What the Lord says counts for all. And since 1529, confessional Lutherans have confessed this connection. We said from 1921 to 1991 that the water of baptism is comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word. In 1991, it was included in God's command and combined with God's word. Kolb in 2000 translated water enclosed in God's command and connected with God's word. A 21st century English translation is the water given shape by God's command and bound to God's word. God's word, his command and promise, is in particular, they count for everything. If God commanded us to pick up a straw and promise to forgive our sins, that would make straw picking up a sacrament. How did God create? He spoke. How did God the Son raise the dead? He spoke. How did God forgive David's adultery and murder? He spoke. Your sins have been put away. You will not die. God's word connected, comprehended, included, combined, enclosed, shaped, and bound to water has all the power, all the promise, all the authority of God when spoken by his command. God's word speaks into being what didn't exist before. God's word calls sinners saints, and they are. God's word calls the dead living, and they do. Everything depends on God's word and what he connects to it. In the sacrament of baptism, God connects his word of command and promise, not to diamonds, not to grape juice, not to water, not to wine, but to water. Which is that word of God? Ever get one of those gift baskets that has a variety of things in it, but some of the labels have fallen off? You're not sure if something is to be eaten for decoration, to keep the basket fresh, or even a room deodorizer. God's word must tell us what baptism is, and we note this by asking, which is that word of God? And it's not for nothing that Luther wrote, and we confess, word singular. The words from the Bible passage we quote are one word. They belong together. They're to be understood together. I pointed out before how the World War II generation would brag on the fact that they memorized for confirmation all 700 Bible passages in the explanation of the catechism. Well, that is an accomplishment. And what you don't have in memory, you can't use. However, you can see Luther wants a select few Bible passages to stick in our hearts. Here is the Lord speaking in Matthew 28:19. But as a stickler as Luther was for the word, he didn't include all of what that Matthew says here. We have, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of. The full passage just goes into verse 20 like this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The actual command in this passage by Jesus is to make disciples after going. And Jesus adds two participles indicating how disciples are to be made, by baptizing and by teaching. But here, Luther quotes only the part about baptizing. That's probably because the small catechism doesn't deal with infant baptism. The large does and gives a defense of it, but it says before doing so that the question of is it right to baptize infants, that should be referred to the learned. I think the more we understand what baptism is, then onto its benefits, its power, and how to use it, the question of baptizing infants will be moot. How could Christian parents who know what baptism is, gives, and does not baptize their babies? It would be like having clothing, food, and shelter, but not giving them to their kids. Baptism is not just simple water because it not only has God's word of command attached to it, but his word of promise too. He promises. Apply water using the name of the triune God as Jesus commanded, and that person is sent into, brought into, goes into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Greek word here, although translated in, is really into. There's an actual movement going on at baptism. As the baptismal waters are sprinkled on the baby or person, heaven's gates are swinging open. They must open to the King of Kings. They must open to the Lord of Lords, the triune God who now covers this person. The baptized move into that space where all that God the Son did in his flesh and blood for the world is applied to them personally. In the flesh, Jesus kept all the commandments necessary for a person to go into heaven. But then Jesus was sent to hell forever during his lifetime of sorrow, his sweating blood in Gethsemane, and his being forsaken at Golgotha. To go into heaven, we need Jesus' holy life, and we need his guilty death. Baptism takes you into these in the name of the triune God. And here, devil, world, and sinful nature can't go. Here, sins of long ago or just today, they slide right off. Baptism moves you into the reality where your heavenly Father and brother Jesus reign and rule over all things for your benefit. We confess where the name of God is, there is life and salvation. When you're ushered into that name, watch out. Heavenly, holy, happy things bless and keep you there. You should hear and see at every baptism what you do at Jesus. Luther put it this way. The water which is poured in baptism is not the water given by God as the Creator, but given by God the Savior. See heaven open. See the Holy Spirit bodily descending in the form of the dove on a person. Hear the Father declaring from heaven, "This is my loved child in whom I'm well pleased." As Jerry Seinfeld's friend is noted for saying, that's gold. When you hear baptism, I hope you think gold. The amount of gold dissolved in the waters of the ocean is nearly 9 million tons. That's about 180 times more than the total amount of gold dug out of mines in the entire history of humanity. But the gold in the ocean is too diffused to be extractable at any profit. All of the gold of God, his sonship, his forgiveness, his everlasting life, is concentrated in the handfuls of water sprinkled on you. And in hearing that, think not only that's gold, but that's too much. When a new convert was appointed to translate the Bible at Malamar, he got to the place where it says, "Ye shall be sons of God," and was so startled he laid down his pen. "It's too much. Let me render it, they shall be permitted to kiss his feet." Think again. In baptism, he washes yours. Amen. Now we continue now with the offering.